Hello, and welcome to another episode of M's Gems. I am pumped to answer any and all questions that you guys have. So, yeah. And what is something that I want to talk about as people are hopping on? I also am going to check my phone because I know that that's like a big ass problem. Sometimes with comments loading and all the things. Okay, because I know that a few people joined the group this morning. So, whatever happens. All right, so it is reaching the end of the quarter. And I know that for me, I'm going to be setting aside time actually next Friday. That's part of my CEO day, is I'm going to reflect on every area of life and in my business before going into another quarter. So, I honestly used to do this. It was called quarterly offsites. And I did it while I was living in San Diego, and I really liked it. And it was just a way for me to take a step back, also like not just reflect, but celebrate all that you've done, the decisions that you made, the big decisions, like the uncomfortable ones, whatever happened, and like the growth that you've made also. Like, so for me, I'm gonna be reviewing what worked, what didn't work, and what could be improved. Now, some of these things, this is why I always have a mentor. Some of these things, like if I don't know maybe how to improve something, I'm going to ask my mentor. Like something that immediately came to mind this morning that I know I want to work on going into Q2, I've like already Voxered her at like 10 in the morning. I'm like, hey, like just want to know your thoughts on this. This is something that I want to improve. So, I wanted to give you guys some areas if you sit down and do this. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to avoid reflecting on the quarter because you're like, oh, this is gonna take so much time. This is annoying. Like, trust me, I used to do that and it does not have to take as long. Now, does that mean that you rush through it? No, but it does not have to feel like a chore. This should be something that's exciting. And sometimes what happens is if we are avoiding doing this, or if we don't want to do it, or like whatever, we feel uncomfortable doing it, that might be some insight on why do you feel uncomfortable looking at this stuff and reflecting on it, right? So, just food for thought. In business, the areas that obviously I would review if I were you, I know that I still do this. So even areas where I feel really solid, it does not mean I'm like, oh, I don't have to ever improve this or make it better. Like I was just saying this to my go-to coach mini mind clients this week. You can always get better. You can always get more efficient. You can always get more potent. You can always get more detailed. Like there's always room for improvement, and this is why I'm forever a student. I'm never gonna act like, oh, like I've already made it in this area or I'm good. I'm always looking for ways to improve. Even like things that I've considered myself to have mastered at this point, I'm like, there's always room for improvement. So I would say content and obviously messaging and branding falls under there. So your actual brand, but also like branding itself for offers and things like that, the aesthetic part of your Instagram, if you are happy with it, because guys, that goes into your content and how good you feel about your content is the visual side of it. So that's one thing to review, the types of posts that you're putting out, right? But also like how specific and detailed you are inside of your post. So this leads into messaging and the level of problem and desire that you are speaking into when trying to consistently call in and attract the higher level client that you want to work with, right? So this all falls under to me like content. So when I go into like reviewing messaging within my posts, obviously that trickles in into I have a whole category for Instagram stories. Because under Instagram stories, it is messaging to sell my offers is a huge area that I review. So it's almost like you have these big areas and then there's subcategories underneath. So with Instagram stories, why the messaging in my posts goes hand in hand with the messaging to sell my offers is that I always say this to my clients, I don't create double the amount of work for myself. So it's not like, oh, posts are over here, and then like whatever I want to say to talk about my offer is over here. Like half the time, when I'm selling offers, which by the way, your offers and the topic of your offers should be a reflection of the things that you already have built a reputation around in your content, right? So that they sell a lot easier. It's not a surprise to your audience that you're selling this because you talk about this all the time in your content. So with that, it's like whatever, let's say I put out a problem awareness post and I think that, oh my God, this is like so specific. I'm talking to the level of problem that this client has with this thing. Okay, I'm going to use this same point to talk about my offer today. This is gonna be the hook in my Instagram stories. It's gonna lead into selling my offer, right? I do that all the time because at the end of the day, why would I create double the amount of work? But also too, like not everybody watches your stories and not everybody sees every post that you put out. And sometimes even if they constantly look at both every single day, it is good for them to hear and see the same message over and over again. And sometimes what I'll do is I might elaborate a little bit more if let's say I'm getting on camera and talking about whatever I just posted, because obviously your posts on your feed, like this is something to maybe review and look at, like they get to be very potent and to the point. Whereas when I get on my stories and talk about it, right? Like you can say a lot in a minute now. I remember Instagram stories used to be 15 seconds and now they're a full minute. Every clip that you put up. So this is just where like I can elaborate a little bit more. I can add in some examples from myself or from my clients. So under Instagram stories, again, that's like another big category to review. We have this messaging and how you're selling your offers. I think launching is a whole other category. So reflecting on the launches from Q1, what worked, what didn't, what could be improved, because then you know what to double down on, right? Because everyone's audience is different. So sometimes like you might be putting out something that your audience just really responds to, and that's not gonna necessarily work the same for someone else's audience. That's why I always say like, you can't like screenshot your favorite coach's Instagram stories and try to replicate them. They have a different relationship with their audience. Now, like you can follow a consistent strategy in terms of how you want to do price phases when you sell an offer and things like that. But for instance, I'm gonna give you an example. It really, like whenever I show the behind the scenes of like how I'm supporting my clients and how hands-on I am with my clients, I get a lot of story replies and people are either asking me about my offer or they're like, oh my God, I want that. And then that kind of leads into them telling me what they need support with, right? So that is something that I've noticed is a pattern, right? Like people consistently reach out when I share this. And when I first shared this, I wasn't even thinking to myself, oh, cool. Like I'm going to only share this so to get people to reach out. I genuinely wanted people to know, like, this is how I work with my clients. This is what I mean by being hands-on with my clients. So launching, like that's a way to review, right? Is obviously start tracking what people are responding to, because you again have a different relationship with your audience. And that's why like copying people's Instagram stories, even copying their content doesn't work. Like you have to follow the strategy that obviously aligns with you, but how you talk to your audience, what you talk about, that has to do with you, what you're embodied in, what you're an expert in, what you have the results in, right? Like to back it up, but also like you're going to want to call in a completely different audience. You're also probably at a different phase in terms of temperature with your audience than this other coach is, right? So under Instagram stories, messaging to sell your offers. So that falls under like evergreen offers, things like that. Launching. I also think the way that you nurture your audience within your Instagram stories, like something I called myself out on towards the end of last year was that I kind of stopped sharing the behind the scenes. Like I just kind of like got really busy. I stopped documenting as much the BTS of the day to day. And so I was just like, why? Like, why did I do that? Like, this is something I teach my clients all the time to do. Like, I need to get back on this and I want to share more of my day to day. I want to share what's going on. I want to give my audience insight, even with what I'm working on, how I helped my clients that day, like calls that we had, or even just like some aspects of my personal life. I just missed doing that. And also, I know that that did build a deeper relationship with my audience. Now, other ways to nurture your audience through stories. I would categorize live streams under Instagram stories because the only way for you to go live is if you go to the Instagram story feature. So I consider that a feature in Instagram stories, and that's obviously a huge way to nurture your audience. And I was just telling my mini mine clients, how do I know how often to go live and whatever? So the beginning of my business, when I didn't have a lot of clients yet, I went live as much as possible because I was like, first of all, I need to get comfortable on video. Like, I need to get over this and stop thinking my voice sounds weird, that no one's gonna join, and all this other shit. Like, it's like, I just had to wake up to the fact that, like, we all start somewhere and I need to just practice getting on video. And I knew in the future I wanted to have a group program or have group offers in general. So I was like, I need to practice teaching something one to many, or sharing my thoughts on something one to many rather than just one to one. So this was like the beginning of business coaching. I was phasing out my fitness coaching clients. I was totally going all in to business coaching. And yeah, so that's what I would say. Okay, so outside of live streams, I also think like doing things like polls, like you guys see me where sometimes there's this app called NGL and I use it to like post a link and say, ask me anything anonymously. And I do that once a week, right? And sometimes it goes crazy, if not every other week. And so I do that because I do want to have a relationship with my audience and I do want to hear what they have to ask me and what they want to know. And it's fun. Like, I love Q&A. So I like doing that. And that's a way that I nurture my audience. And once a week is very doable for me. And again, a relationship doesn't grow unless we nurture it. And so I like doing that. Another way, so this is another category, is I think offers in general, like I think this should be a category, but under offers, I would include free masterclasses in this. So obviously with my product suite, what I would write under here is free masterclasses, paid experiences, because sometimes it's not just a paid masterclass, it's like a Telegram experience like the content challenge was, mini group programs, pop-up mini minds, my mastermind spaces, my paid membership, and one-to-one coaching. Like those are all the ways that you can work with me. Now, obviously, the things that aren't going on all the time are my mini group programs and my mini minds, right? Like there's at least one of each per quarter. And then, you know, free masterclasses and paid experiences or challenges or whatever aren't happening all the time. Like those are very start and stop, right? But you can get access to all those things and the replays of the ones that I've done inside of my membership all the time. You get immediate access to. So having said that, I would review, okay, what worked, what didn't work, and what could be improved based off of all of these types of offers that I did in Q1, right? Like, what did I like about them? The payment plan options, like, that's just really good to review because oftentimes we'll just do things. And let's say you had a great month in Q1 and you're like, how did I do that, right? Or you just like, what I see often happen is when coaches go from having a really good month to then they drop down, they're like, oh my God, like it was a fluke or it's never gonna happen again. And I'm like, well, did you unpack how this happened? Like, or was it just like, you kind of just moved on to the next month? Like we need to track like what was within your control. So if you got a bunch of pay in full private clients, like we kind of have to take that out of the equation because that's not necessarily something you can repeat. Now, could you do a pay in full bonus or something like that? Of course. But if you didn't do that and people still paid in full, like then it's just kind of like, all right, like I'll try this out going into Q2. But again, I didn't do this and people still paid in full up front. So that's not necessarily something I would count as repeatable for another great month to have in Q2. The things that are repeatable for you to bring into Q2 out of those great months is looking at obviously what you sold, the price point, the payment plan options, the different price phases you had. Again, like the messaging, this is why these all go like hand in hand, right? All these different categories go hand in hand and they work with each other. The messaging in order to sell them, like even things like unpacking, okay, like how often did I go live? So when you review the Instagram story category, it's like, okay, like, did I go live a lot? Was it not really? Like, you know, I only went live one time, or maybe noticing and calling yourself out, I only went live when I was like really trying to fill something. Okay, well, what if we just like went live as much as possible? Or now, like, you have a standard for yourself going into Q2. I'm gonna go live at least once a week. That's very doable for me. I can do that. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The different stages of my business, like I said in the beginning, I was going live all the time. As I got busier, nurturing my audience and showing up during launches, outside of launches, like how much I went live, like this evolved over time. Because obviously, like, there got to a point where I had so many clients, I had programs going on, I was starting to hire a team. Like, I didn't have time to go live all the time. So what that looked like was like that had eventually had to turn into this free Facebook group. And then it was like, okay, like, I can't teach a whole training in here for an hour and a half every week like I used to. I am gonna go live for 30 minutes, answer questions. If there's no questions, I'm gonna share something. I'm gonna share what's going on. I'm gonna give them some tips or tricks or whatever, right? I'm gonna give them M's gems. So that's what that evolved into. And then I now kind of have a standard for myself. Not kind of, I do. If I can't go live that day or it's just too back to back, what I will do instead is I will get on camera and talk. And I was even saying to clients, most of the time when you guys see me show up on stories, it's not in the moment that I'm posting it. So it'll be like, maybe, okay, I'm very clear on what I want to say. I'm ready to go. I'm in a great energy. I want to get on camera. And then I literally hit hands-free. I record it. I save it to my phone. Record the next one. Save it to my phone. Because in 10 minutes, I have a coaching call. And for this to look as good as I want it to in terms of captions, in terms of colors, I'm going to post it after the call. Like, I'm not going to rush a messaging and selling for the sake of it or to just get it done. Like, this is where I do focus on quality, but at the same time, there's a balance. Like, when I don't go live, I'm still showing myself on camera. I'm still talking to my audience at some point that day. And I'm 4 years in. So this is just like super important to me. I think humans connect to humans. I think if we never get on camera, it's hard to like build a lot of trust. That's my opinion. Like, mentors who I've invested in, every single one of them, I experienced them on video before I invested. And that looked in all different forms. Most of the time it was live streams, reels, their stories, some free event that they did that I tuned into. Like, I just think it's so important. So that would be something that I would reflect on when you realize, okay, this is the month in Q1 where I sold these offers. I had a free masterclass and I launched a mini mastermind and it went great. Okay, so I'm gonna look at these other areas and unpack what really worked, right? So maybe even going back and the people that signed up that replied to your stories, what types of stories did they reply to? What was that messaging? That's why all of these things work together. And I think another good category to review is reoccurring income. So where was reoccurring income in January, February, March? What worked, what didn't, what could be improved for every single month? Because sometimes what I see happen is that clients need to fill the gap in their product suite. And that's why their reoccurring income goes down every 3 months because it's only from 90-day one-on-one coaching packages. It might be, all right, I've been trying to sell my mastermind. It's not selling. Okay, so that's the problem. That would be something that didn't work. Like, I was trying to sell my mastermind to build more long-term reoccurring and it didn't work. Okay, well, we need to take it a step further. Why didn't it work? Like, were you doing everything 12 out of 10 effort, right? Like, did you hold back at all? Were you slacking? Like, yeah, right? Like, that would be things to write down that you know you need to improve, right? And then whatever you write down that you need to improve, do you need support to improve that? Like, you don't know what you don't know. So sometimes it's just like, okay, like, trying to piece things together on my own hasn't been working. Or I don't know, I'm so used to being in a group program. I'm just in a season where I want one-on-one. Like, there's nothing wrong with where you're at. I just think it's about not just guessing what to improve if you don't know what it is. Now, if it's very obvious that you're like, all right, if I'm being honest with myself, like, I wasn't that visible. I only sold like 3 times a week. Like, I wasn't consistent. I mean, then those are things to immediately clean up. But I mean, after that, if you realize you need more help, like, that's just where you got to make that decision. So I would review that. So then, what I would do is if you have like a mini mastermind or paid membership or whatever, and a lot of people are finishing up on a certain month in Q2, well, then we need to prioritize that, right? So that your recurring income doesn't dip, because maybe you look back on Q1 and you realize, like, holy shit, I kind of just relied on clients to re-sign. That didn't happen. So I need to make this a priority, like, long before I get into re-sign conversations, so that you're set up to not have recurring income dip that much and then kind of be shit out of luck or kind of like scrambling together an offer just to try to make up for it. Like, you don't want to do that. And then obviously personal life. I think mentorship, client relationships is another good area. But I think your personal relationships, like friendships, I'm reviewing a lot right now and reflecting a lot right now. Yeah, health, fitness, your routines. I'm just giving you categories. Your relationship with money. I don't have it right in front of me either. So, but your relationship with money, I think, is a really good one. Also, like, your relationship with your family. Not trying to trigger anyone, but I know there was a time in my business I just slacked on like keeping in touch with people and calling my family. And now I'm like, that was not fun. Like, I definitely felt like something was missing. And so that's like a priority for me every week. And that came from like me reflecting on the quarter and realizing that. I also think friendships, because that can be something that can easily be slacked on. And I think it's also reflecting on the people that you've been surrounding yourself with. I just had this conversation with somebody who's also a coach, and we were just talking about, you know, it's just fucking rough trying to like make friends sometimes, because sometimes people are hard to read. I know for me, the reason why I left California is because a lot of the relationships that I came across there felt very transactional. Like, it felt like, you know, I'm only friends with you because of who you know, or where you're at in your business, or what I look like hanging out with you. It was just kind of like that. And it's honestly what drew me to like have a clean slate and come here 3 years ago. But anyway, that's definitely something I would look at. In terms of like mentorship or your relationship with your mentor or whatever, I mean, if you don't currently have a mentor, I think it would be like reflecting on, like, why is it though? So for me, like, and this is just me being really honest, I never not have mentorship, just because I think you can always be better at everything that you think that you're good at. Now, I'm not going to act like everybody has the means to always have mentorship or whatever, but even like, okay, case in point, I found one of my mentors, and I wasn't like, just from a trust thing, I wasn't ready to like reach out to her and be like, hey, I want to work with you one-on-one. But like, I was very much drawn to her. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start in her membership and just see how we connect. So sometimes it's not even a money thing. It could just be like that coach that you've been following consistently that you know you want to work with. Like, maybe it's just that they're not talking about a certain offer that they have going on. And it's just about reaching out to them and being like, hey, you know, like, this is where I'm at. Like, what do you suggest? Like, I want to be plugged into something for the accountability and also the community aspect. Like, I was very much interested in not only seeing how my mentor like operated and taught things and her style, but also like her communities, what they were like, what her programs were like. So a membership was a great start before doing anything like higher level. So that would be an example. Like, let's say if you're trying to decide what's next, I also think like just straight up asking. Like, people DM me all the time and are like, hey, this is where I'm at. Like, what offer do you think would be the best fit? And so I ask them a series of questions. Like, I'm like, all right, well, what do you need support with right now? And then after they answer that, I'm going to recommend a certain offer that I have going on or I have availability for, and I'm going to tell them why I think it's a good fit. Sometimes I give them two different options, and one is more of a like mastermind space or group space, and the other one's like, let's say, one-on-one. And I'm like, yeah, like, I guess it just depends. Like, I think either one, we could get a lot done in a short amount of time. I could really support you with creating XYZ, but it just depends on what kind of support that you're looking for right now. So once you look over everything, like, let me know your thoughts and we can go from there. And then like, I trust that that person knows what they need. And a lot of times, like, people take half a day, whatever it is, to get back to me. And they're like, hey, I looked at everything. This is how I'm feeling. Like, I want this kind of support. And then we move forward. So it's like, all they did was just DM me and be like, hey, I don't know which offer is a good fit for me, but here's where I'm at. So if you are reflecting on your mentorship right now, like, that might be something to just do, right? Like, you know, I've done that plenty of times when I wanted to work with somebody. I'm like, I don't really know. I know I want to work with you. So this is what I have going on. Okay. And then in terms of client relationship, this is a tricky one sometimes because I'm very grateful, first of all, that I have clients that I want to get my nails done, go out to dinner with, obsessed with them, feel very solid right now. But there was a time in my business where I did not feel that kind of solid, grounded feeling with my clients. I was like, oh, do they hate me? Like, do they even like working with me? Like, all of that stuff riddled with anxiety all the time, for days, for weeks, the whole time we were working together. And I just think I had to get really clear on, like, all right, what worked, right, about this relationship, or what's working about this relationship? Might be everything's working, right? But even if you have very solid relationships, like, what's not working could be just one small tweak. It could be something in your schedule in terms of when you take on calls or when you take calls. Like, I'm even maybe rethinking about like when I have my CEO day and maybe it not being Friday anymore. I don't know. I'm going to think about it, but like, that's a scheduling thing, but that directly has to do with fulfillment, because then it's like some other things might get moved that obviously impact fulfillment going forward in like future offers and things like that. I have no plans of moving around anything that's like an evergreen offer, but that's just something to think about. Like, I'm considering moving it to Tuesday because Tuesday I already don't take coaching calls on that day, for instance. So again, just something I'm considering. It's not definite. But like, if I had really great, solid relationships and everything felt great in Q1 with my clients, right? That might be something that's like not working. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with like the client relationship, but it does have to do with clients and fulfillment. I think what could be improved is you getting clear on like how you're gonna do this. Like, what are you gonna improve? How are you gonna improve it? Is it a conversation you need to have? Is it that you need to update contracts? Because you had kind of a weird situation happen in Q1. Like, sometimes it is a logistical thing to clean up, and sometimes it's an internal thing for you to like stop making things mean something or making a problem out of nothing. And sometimes it's like that the relationship feels great and you want to attract more of this client, because maybe it's like your current clients feel great, but you're not consistently attracting this person all the time. Okay, well then that's a content messaging thing. And the last category that I would review is definitely mindset. And that is a big ass category. And this is what I want to wrap up with. Like, I think there's so many aspects of things that we deal with as online coaches that not a lot of other people deal with or just in the same way. So I think that, for instance, like imposter syndrome, I think comes up at different levels in your business for different reasons. In the beginning, it's for one reason. You know, when you're more advanced in scaling your business, it's for a whole other reason or other reasons, right? It might be you're raising your prices. You come out with an offer that's a commitment, that length that you've never sold before, right? And you're overcoming that self-doubt and imposter syndrome of like, I can't offer something like this. Like, I'm actually about to make a post about how I had that same feeling with a year-long mastermind and what shifted and how I had a $210,000 launch when I came out with it. Like, yeah, like it could be that. I think another one, huge, like giving your power away to people, clients, and sales. I think holding space in between the results. I think making a problem out of nothing. I think comparison. Like, yeah, those are all areas to review. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but those are like, I have found the most common amongst people that I work with, things that we work through together. But I also think another one is making a big deal out of you. Like, I see so many brilliant coaches and I'm just like, you tell me so many amazing things about you, your work, your clients, show it on your social media. Like, where is it? Where is it? So that is what I would review reflecting on Q1. That's all I'm going to say. And I will talk to you soon.